Hello, and welcome to the 8th episode of 80 Game Club, the monthly video game club podcast where we choose a game from the past to play and talk about in depth. I am your host, Andrew, and joining me today is my best friend and co-host, a man who gets military before every podcast, David.
That's me, which is weird since you're the one that joined the National Guard and all.
Yes, I'm the only one of the two of us who has actual military experience, but come on, like... what does get military mean?
In the context of the game?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Are you saying get serious? I don't know.
Because they don't. I don't know.
No. But before that, at the top of the show, I would like to mention that 80 Game Club has a Facebook page. You can find it at facebook.com/80gameclub. There you can keep up to date with us throughout the month and participate in conversation by leaving comments. But getting back to the point, the game of this month is Bulletstorm, the 2011 first-person shooter by Epic and People Can Fly.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the people who helped bring you all of those Gears of War games. Which, I mean, we've played through most of those actually cooperative and have quite enjoyed them.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't played Judgment, but I think that's, well, and the newest one, 4, but they didn't have anything to do with that. So, familiarity of the game. I knew, just from pop culture and what people were saying at the time, that it was... a stupid and rude and over-the-top game, and it advertised itself as that, right?
Yeah, it did.
One thing, though, that I had forgotten, but I rediscovered while doing some Googling about this game beforehand, was that this game was also one of the games listed by a Fox News article about how video games were increasing rape back in 2011. And I don't know why. I don't think anyone back then knew why Fox would mention this either, but...
no. It's weird because aside from, you know, the main villain being horrible and making a bunch of horrible references, like, for the kind of over-the-top game it was, there wasn't a lot of, like, you know, racist jokes or rape jokes or anything. It was surprisingly...
all about the dicks.
Well, yes. And... the killing thereof.
Yes. Did you have any thoughts about or remember anything about this game before going in?
No, just that I didn't realize when it came out. Like, I just thought it was, you know, another game in that kind of Duke Nukem, which I guess was also
sure.
A parody, but that sort of, you know, over-the-top gung-ho shooter, and it wasn't until later after the fact that I heard that, A, it was... kind of an intentional parody, and B, that it was actually really, really good.
Mm-hmm. See, I had heard a lot of people praise the actual the combos, the mm-hmm. kill shots, the skill shots. Now I'm blanking on which they called it, but kill was definitely in there, and shots was definitely in there.
Skill shots.
Which I overall was pretty impressed by, but we'll get to that in a moment. Based off of our previous game of The World Ends With You, there's a lot of plot, and we brought up some of it, but we felt like it was a little lacking as far as this podcast conversation, not mentioning the actual like storyline of the game. So I'm going to do a bit of a quick run-through of the story for Bulletstorm. And David, feel free to interject as you feel is needed, if you feel mm-hmm. like I missed or didn't give him the gravitas of certain scenes their justice. So, thankfully, the game is broken up into acts, and so the Act Zero begins in space. And it turns out that there's a bounty hunter trying to save his life by revealing important plot details to us / the heroes of the story. And, you know, exposition. And wouldn't you happen to know it, the person who hired these bounty hunters just so happened to be in the next scene when our heroes jump out of hyperspace. And since our heroes are drunken bastards... they just mm-hmm. decide to attack a war cruiser in their little jump ship. and of course are completely devastated, but somehow, I think through the use of that warp drive, are able to take Serrano's ship down with them. So both ships crash land on this mysterious planet. Okay, pretty good start so far, and somehow everyone survives, except Ishii, the Asian character, is in critical condition. Our other heroes, Grayson, the lead, the one we're playing as, and his best friend Rel, I guess, go out looking for a power source to save Ishii, as Doc is the Doc and is trying to save his life. Eventually we find the power source and we get the leash, which is basically how all of our skill shots are handled and is honestly a pretty fun tool for a first-person shooter. Like, it coming from the people who did Gears of War, which is all about that cover shooting, being able to just grab people from out of that cover and either throw them into traps or into your own gunfire, really great. Or enemies' gunfire, just awesome. We get the power source back. Ishii is basically saved, but wouldn't you know it, Doc and Rel are killed in the process. So this was one of the first points where I'm like, seriously? We just spent the beginning of this game trying to save this dude only to kill half
everyone else,
the crew. Yeah. And it's like, was this really worth it? Was it? But okay, fine. Grayson feels terrible about it. Ishii is pissed because now not only is all of his friends dead and it's all his commander's fault, but he's also now half cyborg. And the cyborg half of him wants to just, I don't know, follow a killing protocol, I guess.
I don't know why the AI was automatically evil. That was a little weird and
but
unexplained.
Was the AI evil? The AI kind of just wanted to protect Serrano, right?
Well, it... I mean, it
or
was
self-preservation, maybe? And
yeah,
saw
was,
Serrano
trying
as the
to,
only way out? I don't know.
Yeah, it was just trying to keep itself alive, but then every time it turned on, he would start attacking everyone else.
Yeah, just wanted to kill. Very angry AI. And that's basically Act Zero. Now the real fun begins. And by fun, I mean killing.
Lots of killing.
And so you first have to get to the city. You jump on a train. There's a cave section where you anger a giant, like really giant beast by killing its offspring, its eggs, just because they're in the way. You make it to Act Two and you finally run into the
Trishka,
the basically she's a complicated character who... The very first thing she kind of says to you is, I'm going to kill your dick.
Great. Yep, and they all have an argument about the semantics of dick killing, and Ishii just says that he really doesn't want to talk anymore about killing anyone's dick.
No. He might not have one anymore.
That was unaddressed, which, now that I think about it, was a little surprising.
You chase her into the Terror Dome amusement park, which has a 7D attraction, and I had fun trying to figure out what those 7Ds are.
I see you put here in the notes death, destruction, dinosaurs, maybe decapitation. I don't think anyone was really decapitated. They were mostly just blown up and electrocuted.
I decapitate a lot.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I don't think that was part of the attraction, though.
Fair enough. Also, damage, demolish, disaster, and devastation.
That sounds about right.
Because the way I can, I piece it together, at one point, the point of this attraction is that kids get a hold of this giant robot, which is a mechanical version of that giant beast known as Hecaton that you angered in the first act. You get a not as large, but a still very large mechanical version of that beast, and a miniature city which you can then control the beast, go through, destroy stuff. This toy should never have been put into the hands of children.
Yes, for some reason it's a big robot dinosaur, but it also has, you know, extremely powerful laser eyes that can blow up real buildings.
Yes. And one of my favorite quotes is when Grayson gets a hand of the gets a hold of this robot and is using it to just cause mass destruction of the enemies, and he's like, "You see the look on their faces? Run, run! No one imagines perishing at the hands of a child's toy."
Right, which, like you said, brings into question why that's a child's toy in the first place.
Yeah, like this universe is really messed up. Act three, enemies at this point are able to basically dodge most of your kicks and leashes, but you're continuing to get new weapons that sort of counter their new abilities or their faster movement. So, really cool overall, just how everything's going. You finally catch up with Trishka, and you establish that she knows exactly who you guys are. Not only for the fact that, like, what Serrano's been telling her, but also the fact that you're the ones that took down her ship and put them into this entire mess.
It's all your fault.
I guess we kind of super glossed over the fact that the whole, like, preamble of, so the big bad is Serrano, who in the very opening chapter, there's a flashback, and you were working for him up until you found out that he was using you and your squad to carry out hits on civilians that
Right.
either were endangering his evil plan or just to cover up the mess of you killing other people that were in his way. So.
And that was kind of, I thought it was a neat idea that they actually had you play through an assassination where you go in and you know, sneak into someone's office and kill them, and then the, I guess the way I feel about the writing in general was that the story was better than I expected, but the way it was written and played out was kind of terrible because as soon as you kill him, one of your teammates, I forget which one, goes, "Wait a minute."
Yeah, let me check this computer and see what he just happened to be working on. Oh, look, it's a news article on us.
Right. So they just sort of spontaneously go, "Wait a minute. What if we're just killing innocent people?" Oh, shit, we are.
And
Probably should have looked into that earlier.
wouldn't you happen to know it, Trishka just so happened to be that last assassination's daughter, and she has a huge boner about wanting to kill the people who killed her father. And I just like that's part of the reason why I could just did not like the writing because she okay, so Serrano convinced her that it wasn't these people. Like he tells her that they've done terrible, terrible things, but one of the things that they really did do, he doesn't tell her they did. He instead just says it was some other mysterious whoever did it. Who cares? He probably doesn't. But yeah, like, other than that one detail, she knows everything, they know everything, and they still decide to work together at this point to get to Serrano because Serrano's the only one at this point who has a way off this planet, potentially.
Right. So the whole premise of the plot is that after you crash, or after Grayson crashes everybody, General Serrano is the only one important enough to get rescued, and they're all
Yeah.
trying to get to him.
Yeah, that would be the best way of saying it. And for whatever reason, he's one of the very few people who survived. Most of the other people who even made it to escape pods have been killed off at this point by the enemies in this game, the skulls, the creeps, and the burnouts.
Right, and Trishka presumably could have been rescued, but she also lost her leash, which is also the you know, identification and computer and whatever they have, so she can't call for rescue.
And
Which
also, lucky for us, Trishka had been here previously training her own squad, who are now dead, I guess. Because one of her squad would have been the guy who we got the leash from, right?
Yes, I assume, but I don't think that was really spelled out.
But yeah, she just decides to help us out at this point, even though she really should have just shot to kill, I'm thinking.
Yeah, it did kind of build her up as, you know, being able to, like, you show up like, "We're gonna save you," but you don't really need to save her. But then she says, "Oh, I guess I do need help," even though she was just doing fine on her own when you showed up.
Yeah, she really was. So that's the end of Act 3. Act 4, it's kind of fun. Act 4 is probably my favorite, to be honest. Ishii gets eaten, and so this entire game is set up as if it was meant to be co-op, because you're always with at least one other person, and that's usually been Ishii. But now for Act 4, Ishii gets eaten by some sort of plant monster, and Trishka and Grayson go after him, and is also one of the better like boss battles that I've ever played in a game. Like, I loved the fact that the ammo didn't really matter and it was super over the top. It changed as it went. Thoughts?
That was really cool. Part of what was interesting was for one thing, I kept dying and they let you go to your drop box, ammo drop, whatever they call those, and you could change out your weapon. So each time I died, I could switch out my weapons and see which ones were more effective, which I eventually figured out, oh yeah, the one that lights things on fire is really effective against the giant plant monster.
Oh, really? I just used the default rifle for that entire fight.
Well, yeah, it turns out that I didn't realize it until I was a few times in that I think it just keeps giving you ammo for that weapon, but not the rest. So that was the thing, was I would just ended up shooting it with that for the first part, and saving my ammo with the flare charge that lights everything on fire for the later parts, and that was a really cool fight.
Yeah, it was. So we killed the giant plant monster, save Ishii, who happened to be in a giant pile of plant poop, I guess, because that's a thing.
Sure.
And then we ride a rocket elevator through a collapsed building before it collapses all the way and get to, well, then we somehow end up in a monorail. I don't know. Now a new enemy shows up, the Burnouts. And another great quote, it's a murder party starring me. I don't know, that one just tickled me funny.
There are a lot of good one-liners in this game, actually.
There's a lot. So Ishii leaves the group behind. Grayson flat out tells Trishka a lie about who killed her father. Fine, I'm sure that won't come up anytime soon.
Right.
Then it's a helicopter turret sequence against the Hecaton, which had been tracking our heroes because the heroes must still be covered in some sort of scent of the babies they killed. This was probably one of the most annoying moments in the game for me on every level. Disliked the turret section, and I disliked the story that happened after this. But somehow, the Hecaton decides to swallow a bomb, takes itself out. Well, Serrano technically set off the bomb, but whatever. So you save Serrano and Trishka, and the truth comes out. And Trishka sides with Grayson. So Serrano pushes her off the building.
That was definitely my
And
least favorite part, because that was for it was both. So on the one hand, you know that she's obviously not dead and
oh,
she's
of
going to
course
come back
not.
later, but even knowing that, it seemed like that was way too anticlimactic and not dramatic. Like, it just happened, almost like the writers were like, we all know she's not really dead, we'll just move on.
And why the duck are we now teaming up with Serrano?
Yeah, I would have expected them to like shoot him in the leg and then drag him along or something, rather than just like being like, okay, I guess we're working together now.
They said something about the fact that, oh, there's a super DNA bomb that's on the ship that crash landed and it's armed and ready to explode in some amount of hours, so we need to get him back there to deactivate it.
Right. So
Whoop-dee-doo!
while you are running over these buildings that are collapsing in on themselves, and this giant Godzilla monster is destroying more of them, you find out that the reason that the General Serrano was here was to set off a bomb that will destroy all of these mutants, but keep all of the buildings intact so they can rebuild the tourist destination, because it was such a great job. It was such a great idea the last time, and also they want all of these like completely hollowed out, destroyed buildings to not be slightly more destroyed than they are.
I mean, yeah, to reconstruct these things. They're going to just have to tear most of them down. That was, like, this next act, Act 6, is all about exposition of why ultimately we were here at this planet. And this planet used to be a resort that, I mean, for some reason they decided to build a resort on a super toxic and dangerous planet. Like the very next chapter is all about these superstorms that if you're outside, during one of these superstorms, you just instantly die. Just okay. Why did we build a resort planet here? But they explained, oh, we built it here after building these shields that are able to contain and control these superstorms. And we used prisoners to, maintain these shields, except the shields generate a lot of toxic after, like mutagens, and
right, which we dumped where the prisoners live,
and the prisoners revolted, and all who wants to be out in a superstorm now that the shields are broken? So all the civilians go down into the prison area where the prisoners were and the mutagens are, and they get locked down there, and they mutate. And the prisoners kind of mutated just a little bit. Mostly they're just crazy, are the ones that you've been fighting upstairs. And Serrano just loves this fact that you've been killing innocent civilians this entire game, and prisoners, I guess. But mostly he was relishing the fact that you were killing innocent civilians in order to get to him. Because, you know, that
Cause
makes
his,
sense.
His whole deal seems to be that he is a completely unrepentant, like, sociopathic asshole, and he just does evil things for no particular reason. But he finds it hilarious that you feel guilty, and so he keeps pushing that.
Yes.
Every time he sees an opportunity.
Yep.
That, oh, you felt bad that I made you kill innocents? Look at all of these people that you're killing now.
Yeah, they could have. They were a little mutated, and it was
mostly,
like...
They were also trying to kill you.
So, you go through this prison where all this exposition happens, you make it back to the fallen ship, and Serrano leads you into the chamber with the bomb in it, and it's super obvious at this point that Serrano's leading you into a trap. Mm-hmm. And so Serrano gets behind a locked door, you and Ishii are behind the other door where the bomb actually is, and he's like, well, I have to do something on this side while you're doing your thing over there, now type in this password.
And nobody says, hey, Ishii, go over there and make sure he doesn't pull anything.
And the password, like, he's spelling out the password. And the entire time, I'm like, this is a fake password, it's not going to deactivate the bomb. They got me by typing in URADUMTIT. You activate the bomb. The bomb was never a threat until now. Now it's a threat. And Serrano's like, gotcha, deuces, and leaves you behind. And end of Act 6.
Yes.
And so what happens with Act 7? Drum roll, please. And David, what happens?
Deus ex Trishka.
Yep. Trishka survived and tracked them down and then created an exit.
So there was a whole segment, which I actually kind of loved and thought it was great, where you're trying to escape and you're like, okay,
oh, that's
we're
true.
Not doomed. Ishii's telling you, all right, I guess we should just, you know, accept that we're going to die. And Grayson's like, no, there's always a way. Look, I'll find this vent. And you go through the vent, and you end up in another room where things are on fire, and Isha's like, nope, this is it, it's a dead end. And you go, no, look, I'll knock out this wall, and okay, there's a huge drop. But I open another thing, and like eventually you go through another vent, and you end up in the same room with the bomb. And I love that.
That was honestly pretty good.
At the same time, the whole time I was going... So Trishka's going to show up and save us, right? And then she did.
Yep. So, of course, team's back together, and you go after Serrano, who has made it to his pickup ship, whatever. You sneak in. Like, literally, for me, it was at the last second. Because there's a couple of these timed events, and usually I ended with like plenty of time to spare. This one was literally at the second, and I was like, whew, that was close.
I think I'm not 100% sure, but there's a part where you, at the end of the timed run towards the ship, there's a part where you get blown up and then everything's fuzzy and you get up. I suspect that they just moved the timer down to 13 seconds.
They might have. I really don't know. I was not paying that much attention. So you fight through a huge squad of, I think they were called Dead Echoes. Not Dead. No, Dead Echoes is what our team was. Final Echoes. They were.
Final, no,
No?
Final Echo was
The
Trishka's
Trishka's
team.
team.
Heavy Echoes.
Heavy Echoes. Okay. Heavy Echoes. And they actually have the same rifle you do, and they can charge it up. So that was kind of cool. You were effectively fighting yourself. Kinda. You make it to Serrano, and you don't get to fight him. It's a quick time event.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Ah! And, I mean, you end up killing him, right? As a not. No, he somehow survives, and you just so happen to be on a drop plank. Why are there drop planks where you fought him in what looked like kind of a commandish center?
Yeah, I don't
So
know.
much of this game just does not
Well,
make sense.
no, it looked like there were bombs above you that you were both grabbing and throwing at each other. So maybe it was bomb doors.
Okay.
But anyway, so
You
yeah,
know what made
you.
even less sense? You get dropped down back to the planet from here. And then these heavy echoes decide to also jump down after you. Only to moments later go, oh shit, I don't want to be on this planet, and they're trying to get back off the planet.
No,
Right?
I think what happened there was that he pulled the lever and like all of the floor dropped out and a bunch of his own soldiers fell.
Oh, you think they
That
also fell? Like they weren't expecting Godot? Okay, maybe.
Cuz
It looked
that
to
would
me,
definitely
but
be in his character to just be like, screw it, I'll just drop a couple dozen of my own guys down just to screw with these two.
So, one last plan in order to get off this planet before the DNA bomb goes off. And this was honestly a pretty good setup, because the first time you're going through the ship, Grayson makes note to Serrano, how come there's all of these escape pods still here? You were in an escape pod, but you're the captain of the ship. Shouldn't you be, like, the last one off the ship? So, like, idea, hey, there's all those escape pods. While they wouldn't get us off the planet normally, we'll use the bomb's explosion, because a DNA bomb has a massive explosion, to, like, give us that last little bump to get off the planet.
Right, the DNA bomb that was specifically designed to not destroy any buildings will have a huge explosion.
Yeah. And so you make it off the planet with Trishka. I should have noted that is she actually died back during that initial fight with Serrano, but oh well. Oh, again, Serrano kind of did that by controlling Ishii's AI. Yeah, I really think the AI was working for Serrano the whole time. And they kind of tease a sequel before credits of like, what are we going to do next between Grayson and Trishka? And then there's an additional after-credit sequel tease between Ishii and Serrano. And that's basically the plot of the game. A lot of just running after people and teaming up with people you really shouldn't have ever teamed up with, and a lot of death. Lots of death.
So I and when I finished the game, I was thinking, I like the plot more than I expected, and I realized while we were talking about it, it was actually really, really bad in a lot of ways. So I think it was mostly low expectations and the fact that I actually kind of liked the character arc of Grayson and Ishii. I also just kind of find it interesting when someone actually goes out of their way to explain things that don't really need explaining, like, why are you on this planet that's full of mutants trying to kill you? Oh, well, actually, it was a tourist destination and it had these storms and it generated all of this toxic waste, and that was
Sure.
At least more, I mean, it just in contrast to, I expected to be like, oh, this is a lawless planet where everybody is mutants.
Yeah, there, and that's just definitely how it's portrayed when you first arrive.
Yes.
And I mean, playing other games like Borderlands 2, it's like you're just sort of used to just wastelands of crazy people who are misshapen and just are there to kill you for some
Yeah,
reason.
I was
Doesn't
definitely
make
comparing
sense.
it to Borderlands when I was thinking about that, of where they just sort of drop you, and like if you go deep into the lore, there's some information about why it is the way it is, but it's mostly they just drop you there, and it's like, yep, this is the desert planet full of crazies and guns.
Yeah. So, like, the reason I voted for this to be one of our games of the month was that, having not played it, all I had heard was it was a lot of fun. Like, the combat was pretty good, pretty special in the whole skill shot thing. And I honestly have an attraction to playing these, like, sub-10-hour first-person shooter games. Like, being able to start a game and finish it within a week or two, and having fun while doing it, and it's a change-up of my normal, like, very, very Japanese genre of games that I'm generally playing for fun. Like, taking a break and doing a first-person shooter is, like, it's generally fun for me, and I love it when it's as ridiculous as possible. So that definitely had ticked all of my boxes for me.
Yeah, I usually only play these sorts of shooters like this, Halo, Gears of War. I usually only play them in co-op with you when we get
Yeah.
the chance. Other than, of course, games that are, shooters, but more RPG like Fallout 4 is a shooter, but that's not really the same style of. Here's a bunch of levels in a row to shoot everything. But I was really curious about this game because I had heard it's just so much better than you would expect from the way it presented itself.
Yeah,
So I
it's
really wanted to. And there are a lot of games where you can do, weird, obscure tricks like knocking someone into different elements in the environment, but you just do it once and get a trophy or. There will be a cool voice line, but this is a game entirely built around that idea of pulling off weird tricks, and it turns out it really paid off on that idea.
It really was focused on that, and the amount of like options as far as different ways to kill or different ways where even like doing the same actions but doing it in different areas or with a different weapon would just different results. And it was really cool how they built out those skill shots as far as like how you would earn them and how they would reward you for that. Like, that's one of those getting into things that I really liked was how there are so many skill shots available that are unique to areas or unique to the weapons that you're carrying, and that the first time you get a unique skill shot, it's worth a lot of points and then will lessen the more you do it down to its base value, which then just incentivizes you to go back to that menu, look at other ways or other possible skill shots to do, and then try to pull those off. And sometimes you'll just pull them off by accident. And you'll like, what was this random like bomb party or something? Like, what does that mean I did? I don't know if that's really one, but they all had fun names that it was fun to then look up. Oh, I just accidentally did this. What was that? Can I do it again?
Right. One of the things that I really liked was that as part of this being like an over-the-top parody style game, it just made some of them even better because they were just so stupid and fun, but also actually hard to do, and it felt like an accomplishment. So my favorite example was as soon as I got the sniper rifle, I knew you actually have to get to a drop thing to a drop point before you can unlock the list of skill shots for a new
Yeah.
weapon. But as soon as I picked up the sniper rifle, I knew I would get a skill shot if I shot someone in the dick with it.
Of course, yes.
And I wasn't able to do it for a while, but when I unlocked the skill shots, I was right. And it turns out it's really hard to do, and you have to set it up because the way the sniper rifle works is you sort of pilot the bullet remotely when it gets close, and you have to chase the enemy as they start running
Yeah,
away in
they
slow motion, which is.
automatically start running. They know that they're the one that got shot at, so they
Yes.
start running.
So it turns out that, shooting someone in the dick with that sniper rifle is really hard, but I did it.
You did
And
it.
I felt proud of sniping someone in the dick, even though I had to basically grab them and suspend them in the air so that I could do it.
Oh. That's awesome.
By the way, that skill shot is called the Nutcracker, because of course it is.
Of course. But yeah, I really loved the whole skill shot idea, and what surprised me is that late last year I actually played a game called The Darkness 2, which does basically the exact same idea of skill shots, just that it doesn't have anywhere near as many of them. But it does have just that it's an over to the top first person shooter, and to reward you and get use experience in order to upgrade your other abilities or weapons or whatever. They use that same sort of skill shot system. So it's a good system, and I'm glad that other games have used it, unlike the Nemesis system from the Lord of the Rings game.
Shadow
That
of
needs to be
Mordor.
reused more often.
Yeah, I'm blanking on what it was, but I know I've played at least, I haven't played Darkness 2, but I've played at least one other game, probably a few, where it does something like, oh, you get points, but you have to keep doing different things because if you kill people the same way or with the same weapon
Yeah.
over and over, you get less points. I'm blanking on what game it was, but I've definitely seen that before, but not to the extent or the depth that Bulletstorm did.
Yeah, basically, there were very few times where I would kill an enemy and only get 10 points for it. Like, there was always, like, using your shotgun in close range to, like, cut them in half, or, like, there's always some way where even if you're just using a regular weapon and not trying to do something special, you'll still do something special. What else was something that you liked about this game?
So kind of like I said with the sniper rifle that lets you do this slow-mo chase, a lot of the weapons felt really unique and cool, or like some twist on a standard first-person shooter or third-person shooter weapon. Like you had the standard rifle, the pistol that for some reason is much more powerful than almost any other gun with a single shot,
Yeah.
and a shotgun. But you also had an exploding bolo that turns enemies into bombs while wrapping their arms, that you can just kick them
Yep.
at other enemies. And the instead of a grenade launcher, you have this thing that just launches a ball that will is big enough to knock people over and bounce around until you let go of the trigger and have it explode. And a lot of every one of them has a charge shot, which may be more powerful, or it may do something totally, well, not totally different, but like some cool effect. Like now your remote control sniper shot is a remote control bomb that you can detonate before or after you hit someone. And a lot of those were just really fun to discover and sometimes hard to figure out exactly how it worked, but there was just a cool sense of, oh, I got this new gun. What the hell is it? How does it work? And more importantly, what skill shots can I get with it?
So going to one of the like particularly noteworthy moments for me, but it definitely was all about that bouncing grenade weapon. While I was still trying to figure out what the how to best use that weapon, I happened to use its charge shot on a very small corridor where the ball just started bouncing basically in a doorway, and all of the enemies were trying to run at me. but between me and them was this doorway with a just continuing to bounce grenade that was exploding, and it was just taking them out as they ran to it again and again and again, and I just was like, this is amazing. It wasn't until later that I found out that you can even go up to that bouncing grenade and then kick it to move it around the battlefield, and it's just like, but like that very first time I used it and I got such success from it, it's like, yes. Something else that I wanted to bring up, and you kind of like brought up with the weapons again, like they're always introducing new weapons, and then even though there's only like six weapons, I think
that sounds about right,
the fact that then each of them have that charge shot that you'll eventually unlock meant that you effectively had 12, but it also meant that you got this weapon, but then it would become new again later on once you got that charge shot and playing around with it, figuring out what those new skill shots you could pull off are. And that was just one of the things that I want to really praise this game for, is that the pacing of just how things unlock, how the environments change as you're going through them, the way the enemies change, the traps change, everything just, it was always new as you're moving forward, but never felt like unfair, or it never got boring, or you never felt like, this difficulty spike or anything like that. It was always, I felt, right where you should be in the progression. And while the story irked me to no end, I felt like the actual gameplay, the mechanics, the design was all superb. Yeah, especially the fact that, like, every act ends in a pretty awesome climax of, like, escaping or explosion or combination of all of the above.
Yeah, they did a really great job with those big set pieces at the end of each act.
Anything else you would like to mention as a like, or should we move on to things that we did not like?
Yeah, we can move on, because the other things I think would go under the noteworthy moments.
Sure. I kind of mentioned it before, but the turret section at the end of Act 5, when it's you're in a helicopter attacking the Hecaton. The Hecaton.
Hecaton.
This is the second turret section in the game. The very first one is when you're on your ship attacking Serrano's ship. And for the very beginning of the game, I thought that was a perfect turret section. Did not expect to be able to win, so having a turret section that ended early, perfectly fine by me. But in this second turret section, when it's you against the Hecaton, and like they give you a visible health bar and the like weak points to attack, and it's an on-rail shooter. Like, it could have been good, but the fact that they decided, you know what, it didn't matter how you did, we're just going to have him eat a bomb and that's how he dies. Pissed me off.
Just, it really seemed like, I think that goes to another thing that I didn't like, which was I got the feeling there were a few things that they brought up and then didn't really deliver on because they ran out of time or something, which was that the Hecaton that they built up since the first act, and then it felt like they probably like needed more time to build it out into a full fight, but instead they didn't, so they're like, all right, I guess we'll just pre-make this rail shooter where you go on a specific path and specific things happen, and if you shoot at the weak point when you get a chance, you get skill points, but it doesn't really affect whether or not the monster dies.
Nope.
It felt like they were trying to build that fight, but didn't have enough time, and so they had to make it pre-scripted. And there were a few other moments like that, like when you're going through the underground with Serrano, and another moment that was a kind of a funny fake out actually, where you you're on a walkway looking at this river of radioactive mutating sludge, and it drops and then stops before it gets down there, and there's actually a door that you can kick and an ammo box just beyond that, so you go, oh, okay, so I'll walk over there and kick the door, and then it falls again and you fall into the sludge, which, that was a fun moment, but then the implication seemed to be you're covered in this radioactive sludge that's going to mutate you, and that never did anything else.
Yeah. They also, in that section, introduce these, like, strangely smart, but yet the most dangerous so far, like, spiders. But then, like, they show up, they introduce them, they use them once, and then never again. It never explained or anything, like, nope, it was just there. Okay.
That really felt like they were going to introduce another whole faction besides the three gangs, but then they didn't, so they made it this one set piece.
I think as far as the Hecaton goes, if there had been more explanation that the Mechaton was actually like if there was an introduction of the beast that lives just outside this city, now you control him or something, like just some introduction as to what the Mechaton was so that it would better link into the Hecaton, like that would have been nice.
I wasn't actually sure that it was the same until you mentioned it because, well, for one thing, they gave the robot laser eyes, which the Hecaton later didn't have, and
Well,
I thought that they called it a something or other Doom Beast. So I was like, no, they didn't call it a Hecaton, but maybe they did,
it
and I missed
was
it.
said at some point, I'm sure. I
But
know I got it from somewhere.
it definitely, looked the same.
Yes,
So that
just
makes
size
sense.
difference. Other complaints that I had about Bulletstorm were just the sort of general enemies were bullet sponges. And that's really all Epic Games. I should not have to empty almost an entire clip into an enemy in order to kill it. Like, that's ridiculous. The other one was I played it on 360. What did you play this game on?
PS3.
PS3? Oh, neat. So the aiming in mine, at least, I felt like was always just kind of off. Especially compared to other first-person shooter games that I've played on the 360 or on the PC, like I don't know, I never really got a complete hold of the aiming. It just always felt off to
Yeah, I
me.
noticed that most of the time it didn't bother me, but there was a kind of snap to enemy and auto aim where when you pulled up the sight, if you were kind of close enough, it would snap your aim right to an enemy and it would lock on while they were moving around. And
Yep, definitely.
sometimes I had to fight that just to like shoot something that was past them or just to move from their center of mass to their head.
Yeah, or lead the enemy if the enemy's running around.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. The aiming just didn't work well for me. And especially it was worth noting on that because of the whole skill shot thing. Like having more control over my shots is needed for this type of game. That's all.
Although I will say one thing I forgot to mention under things that I like is the way that you had the burnouts. You could just flat out kill them with most of your charged shots, but for regular weapons, you had to hit weak points, which changed from each one. And as you got further into the more difficult parts of the game, they had fewer weak points, so you had to like stun it and run around to aim for that one spot. And that was a good way to make it more interesting and varied, even if you have the same enemies over and over.
Yeah, again, it goes to that whole like as you kept going, the enemies would change, and I really do think that as far as design goes, they did a really great job with this game. Like just always something new, and I really appreciate that. Anything else that you want to mention as either a dislike or a like?
There were just some times where it was hard to tell where the enemies are coming from or where the enemies are when they're shooting at you, and I don't know if it was the level design or they didn't, signal enough where they were, but I sometimes had to just stop and stand there and wait for someone to shoot me so I could look at where the bullets were coming from. Not
Yeah.
the whole game, but it was certain environments where the enemies just didn't stand out and I had to look in all directions to find them.
I would say that was more towards the beginning than anything else, but I do know what you're talking about.
Yes. Also, later on, there were more enemies that had glowy bits that stood out, like the burnouts and the soldiers. So
Yes.
that was not a problem anymore.
Any particular moment of achievement or frustration you would like to start us out with?
So right in the like we were saying, the big set pieces and climaxes of each act were great, and I absolutely loved the big train scene at the end of Act One with the huge digging wheel that
Yes.
goes off of its axle and starts rolling at you just as you get the train moving. And it was just, on a visceral level, it was this huge thing coming at you that was great and exciting while you're trying to fight off enemies. And they also made fun of how ridiculous it was because the train would turn and the wheel would go off course and all of the or you and Ishii would go, okay, finally. And then it would hit a mountain and roll and come at you, and now it was chasing you again. And they did that two or three times, and it was just ridiculous and aware of how ridiculous it was, as they were like, okay, come on.
I think there's even a moment when you're exploding the little like whatever the explosive water towers, I guess they were,
Right, fuel
the
tanks.
fuel tanks. Man, I don't know why I would have just thought of them as water towers when it's so
They
obvious.
were built like water towers, but they were red, so you knew they exploded.
Yes, and you explode them, and I want to say Grayson was saying or Ishii was saying something to the effect of "This will never work. This isn't a video game," or something like that. And then it does. Like that's how you not get away. Is I?
Right.
It was a really fun chase scene, just from beginning to end. Even though I died so many times, those little helicopters were like the bane to me. I don't know why, but they just, I could not kill them fast enough sometimes. But so for me, a moment that just tickled me, and I loved was during the whole burnout section when they're becoming the new enemy type that you're going to be running into. There's a fight at a bridge, and you take down a helicopter. And it lands on this bridge, and you're using this helicopter to like kick enemies into, and you're getting all sorts of bonus points. And then big, fully mutated burnout appears, like no weak points on this guy. And the moment he shows up, I charge up my shot, hit him, which stuns him, and I just kick him right into the helicopter, instantly dead. And it was just so immediate, and it was like, this is going to be a big fight, and he was done within 5 seconds, like nothing. I loved that moment.
That was great. Yeah, it took me a little longer to actually get him in there, but that was a fantastic just like build up, and then it's another one of those things where you kind of see it coming, and that's why it's great that they have this helicopter blade that's spinning. And you have plenty of time to figure out that if you stun one of these burnouts and knock it in there, it will die instantly.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the guy shows up, you know exactly what to do.
And I executed it perfectly. There's a second time that one of these fully mutated show up and he kills himself. What did you think of that moment?
That also really felt like we're setting something up for later, but we never got around to the payoff. 'Cause again, in the sense of, oh, this is predictable, I know how this is going to work, I assume that he would fall into the mutagenic goo and become an even bigger
Oh,
mutant.
okay.
Or like the Hecaton, like later he would burst out of the ground and you'd be like, oh, that's why that happened. But he didn't. It was just a scene where this guy bursts. You walk into a big open room with a pit of green goo in the center that looks like it's going to either be a boss fight or you're going to have to defend from a bunch of waves coming in. And then a boss busts in, and then he trips and falls in the goo. And then you move on.
And you don't get any points for that one. At least I don't remember you doing. How about another achievement or frustration?
So with the Mechaton and the big robot that you get to control at one point that we've mentioned, I thought that was great for a good while. And it's interesting because instead of shooting at things directly, you have a remote control that you can point at, and then it will shoot where you're pointing. But there's a it's slow to turn, especially if it gets pointed in the wrong direction. And because you're aiming indirectly, you're pointing at something, but it's shooting from where it is to where you're pointing. It's hard to aim at some things, and if your aim goes from one building to the background, it may turn around, and that will take a while, then it has to turn back. And then the helicopters show up, and you cannot lead your aim on those. You would have to be able to hit them because they're moving quickly and the robot moves slowly. But if you aren't aiming directly at it, then your target goes off to the background in the wrong direction. And that I died over and over in that section because it was just really bad controls.
Yeah, and they do lock you to that. Like, as long as you have control of that robot, that's all you get to use.
Right. I eventually got tired of it and said, okay, maybe I'll just switch to my own weapon and shoot these guys, but I couldn't.
Yeah. So my problem with the Hecaton was actually like you first get it, and it does a very quick little tutorial of like, this is how you break down doors, and this is how you have him shoot things, and then you go into your first wave of enemies. And it's right here where I personally kept dying, 'cause like the enemies are focusing on you, even though there's this giant robot that's killing them. They're focusing on you, which means they're smart. Okay, they're smart. But why can't I defend myself? Because if I'm hiding behind a shield and I try to aim, I'll aim at the shield, which will then point the robot at me. Because that's where I am. I have to expose myself in order to fight. I died a lot in that very first section. Eventually I got it figured out and I was like, okay, I just need to hide, peek out, shoot, hide, peek out, shoot, hide. But yeah, I feel your pain 'cause I died a lot there. Which I could just lead into one of my frustrations. I died a lot in this game on a couple of specific areas. The train section, I died a lot again. The helicopters, my bane. The mechanoid. There's a section where you're supposed to get to the monorail, and I just kept dying to the mini boss that appeared there. I was that the first mini boss that had the bombs, the grenade launcher?
Yes, that was where you get the grenade launcher after you kill him.
Because that the grenade launcher mini bosses killed me so many times. Basically every fight with the armored bomb lobber, I called him, just at least 5 times I would die against them before I would figure out, okay, this is the path I need to take in order to kill those enemies before I can take him out. Before, yeah, I
So those were frustrating because, like, you have to shoot at his backpack because the rest of him is perfectly armored.
Yes.
Except he, which for the first several of those, I was like, okay, I guess I'll just wait for him to turn around and attack my friends, which he may eventually do, but probably won't. Eventually, I figured out if you hit him with an explosive or the flare gun, it won't hurt him, but it will light him on fire, and he'll try to put himself out, and you can run around behind.
Gotcha. I never even discovered that. I would just use the rifle and expend a lot of bullets trying to hit the. Because the backpack's always visible. The backpack is large enough that you can hit it. It's just you have to aim. And during that aiming moment, he very will likely throw grenades at you and damage you.
And I think that first fight and maybe one or two others, there are some segments where it's like there's going to be a lot of waves that you have to attack, so we'll give you a checkpoint before that where you can
Yes. Oh,
switch out your
almost
weapons.
always. Yeah.
And well, anything that's a big fight, but then sometimes there are smaller fights that are unexpectedly frustrating and the checkpoint doesn't let you change your loadout. But yeah, it sounds like I did more of, well, I died, so I guess I'll try different weapons and see what works, which is interesting.
See, I would often during those fights where I would have to redo it multiple times, I would generally find a skill shot that I would do by accident. And then I'm like, oh, hey, that means that I should just do this same thing again to get that skill shot. And then hopefully I get past the part that killed me this time. So I got into a very repetitious nature of, okay, I have to kill this group with this weapon because they just so happen to be bunched up just right to get me this skill shot, and I already know where they are. But then when the mini boss shows up, that's when I'm like, damn it, I'm going to die again if I don't do this just right. And the worst for me on that was the wave fight at the end of Act 7, I want to say it was, where it was all three mini bosses that just, I think two of the mini bosses are on screen at the same time at least. But yeah, it was like, okay, I know I can kill this guy with this weapon charged up right at this moment, and it'll then take out this group that would have spawned by then, and I'll know that this guy's coming in right after that, so I need to be running up these stairs to get rid of that sniper so that he's not bothering me while this guy's down there. And yeah, I was it got kind of ridiculous of no way I would win this a first time through. I had it like all
Oh
mapped
yeah.
out of, okay, I need to be here at this point and kill this enemy with this and
Right. For me, I think for that section it most for me it mostly turned into that was where I discovered that if you have the charged up shotgun, which is just a
Oh,
ridiculously
yes.
overpowered
It
thing
kills like
anyway.
everything on screen. I love
Yes.
that thing.
And so it was kind of a waste to kill one enemy with it, but it's the mini boss with the minigun. As soon as you walk in, I would just have that
Yes.
ready, blow him away, grab the minigun, and then the important part was hide from the other mini bosses when they showed up and kill everyone else until it was just them.
No, yeah, so similar plans.
Okay.
I did the exact same opening of charge shotgun. I actually would wait a moment because at the very beginning, that boss was alone downstairs. So I actually stunned him, then got my charge shotgun ready because then there's a bunch of like burnouts that would run downstairs and just all at once kill like everything on screen, grab the minigun at that point and have fun.
Yeah. I also used the thumper a lot in that fight, which was a cool thing, but it was like a big it was basically a fuck all button for any almost any fight that I forgot I had most of the time.
I
But it
forgot I
also
had
had,
it a bit, yeah.
yeah, it also had expensive ammo, so if I had tried to use it every time, I would have run out anyway.
Not as expensive as the sniper rifles.
Yeah, I think the shotgun was probably the most expensive
But
charge, but
so worth
that's worth
it.
it. But yeah, so that goes into another really moment of awesome was reaching the helicopter before that on rails fight we talked about. You reach the helicopter and there's all of these soldiers, or not soldiers, it was the gangs that are there that you have to fight off. And my thought was, like, I don't want to have to fight all of these guys to finish this level. I'll just use my thumper, send them all up into the sky, and then shoot them while they're hanging in the air. What I didn't
Yeah.
realize was that they were standing under the helicopter blades, so when I sent them up into the air, every one of them got chopped up, and it was clear.
Awesome. So I had a sort of similar thumper moment of somewhere when you're in the Ulysses, there's a large crowd of burnouts that just all come running at you at the same time. And so I used my charged leash, the thumper, to throw them all into the ceiling because it's there's an actual ceiling, and if they can't go high enough, they just explode on the ceiling. And so I just the entire room died instantly, and I got an achievement for doing that. I don't remember what the achievement was called, but it was like, hey, I just did something awesome for like killing
Nice.
a whole lot of stuff and earning 2,000 points all at once.
Yeah, I didn't get that achievement. I did get the one for 75% of skill shots, though,
Oh,
so that
that
was
was
nice.
definitely better than me.
I made a point to just switch around to weapons that I could still get skill shots on and went out of my way to get them. And there were some that I did get by accident. Well, I mean, a lot that I got by accident, but one that was just funny to me because I had tried it a few times and couldn't get it right and gave up. And then it was setting three people on fire with the flare and then killing all of them before they burned to death. And what seemed obvious to me once I did it by accident was I shot a flare at a group of enemies and then tried to use the thumper, and it did the same thing that you said, where they were all under a low ceiling and they just instantly died. But that was after I had set them on fire, so I got the skill shot.
There were two skill shots that I kept trying to get and I never got in the entire game. One was leashing an enemy into the man-eaters, the giant Venus flytraps. Could never do it. I don't know if you did. Like, do you know what the secret of that was? 'Cause
I did finally get it at a point where I distinctly remember this area where you run from a platform up a narrow staircase and then it opens up again, but there's two man-eaters like right in front of you, one low and to the left and one high and to the right. And yeah, it's one of those segments where as soon as you walk in, someone will charge at you and get eaten to let you know that they're there. And I realized, oh, every time I leash someone, I'll pull them in front of one of these man-eaters. So I just one by one, each of the enemies that were on the other side of this barrier, grabbed them and they were eaten. And then I shot the man-eaters.
Huh. I could kick them into the man-eaters, but I could never leash them into it. And I don't know why. I mean, I was obviously doing it wrong. The other one was the electric bugs that are everywhere.
That one I also tried and could never get because you can't, they're always high up and you can't really kick someone up.
And there's almost never enemies around those bugs. Like, there's one instance where I can think of that there were, and I tried thumping them into the bugs because, yeah, like you said, they're always high, and I don't know. I kept trying.
Also, if you some of the bugs were just not near any enemies at all because they
Yeah.
were there for an achievement to kill all of them.
Yep. Same with the drinking. Did you drink the bottles or destroy the bottles?
I drank them whenever I could. There were a few that I couldn't get to, and so I just shot it, and I wasn't sure if like they were separate, but both of them said out of 20, so I assume you could either drink all of them and get an achievement or shoot all of them and get an achievement.
Yeah.
I think I got 12 and 3 out of 20. 12 drank, 3 shot.
Oh, I don't remember the specifics. I didn't get all of them. I also don't know how I missed any of the news robots. I really would have thought I would have found all of those,
Yeah.
but because they make a lot of noise. But I somehow missed two. I don't know.
I didn't keep track of that one. I was trying to figure out if there were specific bottles that you like couldn't get to, so you had to shoot them. So that's why I was trying to keep track and figure out if it was if the two things that it was telling me were keeping track of the same 20 bottles, which I think it was.
It might have been.
It was also kind of neat how since that gave you bonus points, I would sometimes find a bottle and like drink it and then immediately run to the nearest group of enemies so
Yes.
that I could kill as many as I could
And it was
while
so hard.
intoxicated. It was, especially the burnouts that you had to hit the specific growths.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, I think that's where I'm going to lead into what I thought about the game. I thought this game was really special, and just the way that, like you said, being able to wrap a bomb around an enemy, kick them into the ground, like into a group, and then explode it, or you're able to stun them, or leash them, shotgun. Like, there's so many different ways to approach battle, and all of them give you different, like, ways to get points or just mess with people. Like, it's fun. The design and gameplay was great. I just really hated the writing. Like, I thought the writing was spectacularly bad.
That's fair. That's entirely fair.
Like, it's definitely it. Mechanics alone, I would recommend this game. Like, flat out, if you like first-person shooters, give this a chance. Because it's a lot of fun. But especially if you have, or you're already familiar with other Epic-style games, Unreal Engine games, just that clunkiness and the bullet sponginess. Like, it is definitely a lot of fun. But the writing brings it down, and I can't give it like a great score because of it, but oh well. What did you think?
I really liked it. Like we were talking about the gameplay, the skill shots were fantastic. I liked the writing more than you did, mostly because I had low expectations and it rose slightly above that. It wasn't great, but I kind of liked the story arc of Gray being like, oh, you think he's just a drunk asshole, but
he actually is a drunk asshole.
And he is, but he also, you know, is obsessed with revenge because he feels guilty about, you know, being used to kill all of these innocent people. So he's really trying to kill the general to assuage his own guilt. Mm-hmm. And then it just felt like a game that had a lot of things they were trying to do and couldn't get it to quite work. And part of that is the story, that there was more to it, but it didn't really fit together very well. I mean, more to it than I expected, but it didn't fit together. A lot of those moments that, like I said, they introduced, but they didn't really have the payoff. And it really reminds me of an essay I read like a few years ago that was about how 7 out of 10 games are the best games, because it means that if a game gets a 7 out of 10, that probably means that it did something really weird and interesting and probably tried too hard and, you know, messed up in other parts, because it was, you know, they spent so much time on this interesting thing, or because it was weird and they didn't know how to polish it as much as a big AAA game. And that's what I felt like at the end of this was.
That's very fair.
It's not just that I would rate it 7 out of 10, but it's that style of game where they tried something weird. Maybe the rest of the game suffered for it because they didn't really, you know, they overreached their time and budget for the kind of game that they wanted, but the part that they focused on was really good.
I honestly agree with you on that. And it's obvious that People Can Fly are very talented developers and that they wanted to make a sequel to this game. And I hope they do. Like, I didn't think the writing was great on this, but the gameplay was superb. And that alone will bring me back to any sequel that they do. Mm-hmm. And maybe they will work on the writing. Why not?
So,
but
we discovered this while we were, you know, while I was looking up where to buy this game, when we decided on previously, and we found out there's actually a remake coming out next month for, well, it's, you know, on PC like the original was as well, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was.
But also on PS4 and Xbox One and updated graphics. So I think maybe it has a second chance that if the remake sells well enough, which it may, because I'm sure like me, a lot of people only heard that it was actually really good after the fact, then that would be a good chance for the sequel.
So I did some Googling. And back in 2011, when this was it 2011 or 2010? Now I don't have my years straight. But when it came out, 2011, it only sold about 1 million units, which for a AAA game by Epic was disastrously low. And so that's why, like, it's obvious they were all planning to do a sequel of this game, and it got canceled after the first game couldn't even sell a full 1 million units. People Can Fly developed Gears of War Judgment, from the earnings, I guess, they made from that. They then left Epic and purchased the rights to Bulletstorm back from them. So People Can Fly, I haven't looked up the remake, but I would presume that it's People Can Fly. So, like, they did the update, I would expect, and they're trying to use this to help fund the sequel that they've been wanting to make. So I really do agree with you on if this sequel or this remake sells well, the sequel is probably going to happen. But who, I don't know, like 100% or anything, and who knows how it's going to sell? Because if it, I mean, the used market, we have no idea how used market did for this game. It probably reached a lot more than 1 million people in the end, but I have no
Probably.
idea. It definitely had the word of mouth, but the advertisements for it to begin with, and the whole the language of the game is, I'm pretty sure it's rated mature, which is going to limit the audience. And I don't know why. I could see this game doing better at a T rating.
Okay, so I just looked up one of these things that I knew and I really wanted to mention. I knew already, but I just looked up what will be new in Bloodstorm full clip, and in addition to the full game, which I didn't really try it out, but there was an echo mode, which I
Yes.
guess is just, is just a point rush version of levels of the game.
Some of which are co-op.
Yeah, I that's like I said before, I probably would have played this game earlier if you and I could have actually played the campaign co-op,
Yes,
but it
we
was
would have.
just the score attack mode. So the I guess it's a remaster, maybe not a remake, but it will have six new levels for Echo Mode, a new game plus with basically all of the weapons from the start,
Oh, nice.
and the part that I really wanted to mention, the most important feature, there will be DLC where you play as Duke Nukem. Not
Oh.
a Duke Nukem XP, they just replace Grayson with Duke Nukem with redone dialogue
Oh, really?
for the
Oh,
whole game.
wow. See, I have no actual history with either Duke Nukem or Doom Guy, but that actually sounds kind of comical, just imagining, because I've seen some clips of Duke Nukem. I'm just imagining that, because Duke Nukem is full on parody. I really wonder what kind of lines they would have added for that. Ooh, that's an interesting idea. Not enough for me to replay this game like back to back,
Right.
but.
But maybe someday it would be worth playing again just for that. 'Cause like you said, the main reason you wouldn't replay it is because of the story. But what if the story was about Duke Nukem?
Oh, yeah. I honestly, maybe.
Someday. So I guess it this says that it the Duke Nukem campaign is free for pre-orders, but I suspect it's like $10. It would probably be $10 or something like that after the fact.
That's a little pricey, but reasonable, I guess. And I mean, I would probably get it for PC, so it'll get discounted on Steam by a year from now, no doubt. But cool, very cool. And yeah, we both enjoyed this game, and I think that's all we really need. So, David, what game will we be playing next?
Oh boy, we're playing Undertale, which is one of my favorite games of all time. I played it when it first came out a year and a few months ago, and it quickly went up to basically tied with Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask for my favorite game of all time. So I'm
And
excited.
knowing that high praise, and then you even bought me the game, and I still haven't played it.
Well, you've played some of it, and I don't want to, force you to, I don't want to be the guy that ruins something by pushing it on everyone when they don't want to. But I asked if you'd played it, and you suggested putting it on the list for this
Yeah.
podcast, and I did because I honestly think it's a wonderful game, and everyone that that plays and enjoys games should play it.
Yeah, I have played through the introduction, and it's basically at the end of that introduction that I've had problems in the past. But this time, if I do run into a problem and it gets to a point where I might like put the game down again, I'll come to you and say, "Hey, David, what should I be doing here? Because I'm not doing it right." And you'll help me get through this game, because it is like I have heard so much good stuff about this game. I do want to experience it, and I'll take note of any sections that do stop me, and I'll bring those up because maybe I'm not the only one. But
Yeah, I know it's not actually, universally praised by everyone, and there's a certain level of I loved it because I wasn't expecting it, and obviously it's harder to go into it with that kind of attitude when it's been out for a year and there's been so much praise. So, just like I probably enjoyed the story in Bulletstorm more than I would have because I had incredibly low expectations. It's hard to a little bit harder to get into something if you've been told it's fantastic. But we'll
Sometimes.
see.
But yeah, I will put forth my best effort on playing Undertale. I'll find some time in between Persona 5, and yeah, we'll see if I have any time after Persona
Well,
5. But ah, so looking forward to that
I promise if you
game.
continue this way, you're gonna have a good time.
Yes.
Sorry, that
Okay.
was a meme.
Okay. So yeah, that's our game for April. Undertale. Our next episode should be out April 30th. Please play along with us. And with that, we are out.
Goodbye.